Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series called Seven. Please take your Bible today and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and that is going to be our starting text for today. And I'm so glad you're with us for this final message in this exciting series we've been doing called Seven. And today is going to be a bonus message in this series. We've added a message that wasn't going to be an original part of this series, but I believe God is leading us to do one more message, and so we're going to obediently walk in that today. And as we talk here today, we're going to be dealing with the topic of the unpardonable sin, the unpardonable sin. So if you would, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 12. Also in your program, you'll find a study guide. It looks like this if you're in the auditorium listening to the message today. It looks like this if you're listening online. You can get the study guide right there at the website, capitalbaptist.org, and use it as you listen as well. But today we're going to talk about a very important topic, and that topic is the unpardonable sin. And today's message is going to be a heavy, what I would call, doctrinal message. We're going to be looking at God's Word and trying to rightly divide it on this important topic. And there's some that may or may not agree with everything I'm going to say here today, but I agree with it, okay? And I do believe that I'm going to give you what I think is the rightly divided answer to this question, this topic of the unpardonable sin. Now, so far in this series, we talked about what's been called the seven deadly sin. These have been kind of called that through church history, and those sins are pride, lust, anger, envy, greed, gluttony, and sloth. So these are the seven sins we've already looked at. And every single week at the conclusion of our study guide, I had a statement, and it's this statement: falling into sin isn't fatal, but staying in sin is. Repent quickly and return to righteousness. So every week, you know, sometimes I didn't allow enough time to properly conclude with that statement, but it was on your study guide every single week. Let me read it again. Falling into sin isn't fatal, but staying in sin is. So what I was trying to get across to you is, you know, if you've ever committed any of these seven deadly sins, pride, lust, anger, envy, greed, gluttony, and sloth, you need to know that just falling in that sin isn't necessarily fatal. But staying in that sin is where it becomes a deadly sin. And so the challenge was, repent quickly, you know, repent quickly. How quickly should you ask for forgiveness when you sin? Immediately. You know, don't clump up your sins and just, you know, at night say, "Oh Lord, forgive me for all my sins." I mean, that's okay as a starting point, but it should never be the ending point for a Christian. I mean, we should deal with our sin immediately, okay? Immediately, as soon as we sin, we ought to ask God's forgiveness. We ought to repent quickly, and then we ought to return to righteousness. We need to get right on that right track as quick as possible. We shouldn't delay. We shouldn't linger in our sin. We shouldn't, you know, not follow God's promptings in our life. However, with that said, there is one sin that you cannot repent from. There is one sin that there is no returning to righteousness. It is called the unpardonable sin. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 12, verse 31. Jesus said this: "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven." Now, Jesus made this statement in all three of what we call the synoptic gospels. Gospels. Okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke are, we call them the Synoptic Gospels. And the reason is they're similar. Okay, those three Gospels present similar stories. They are presented usually in a similar order. And so we came up with this term. I didn't come up with it. The Synoptic Gospels, okay? And then John's also a gospel account, a view of Jesus' life, a biography of Jesus' life, but it's got a different nature to it. It's kind of got a different flavor to it, okay? And so we find this statement in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. It's repeated in Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. It's also in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, Luke chapter 12, verse 10. So God included this statement of the unpardonable sin in all three of these gospel accounts. Let me read it to you again. Matthew 12, verse 31. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Let's go to page 2 of our notes. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at this topic by answering three questions. Three questions. Question number one, what is the unpardonable sin? What is the unpardonable sin? A lot of confusion about that. And we're going to get some clarity on it. Number two, can a Christian commit the unpardonable sin? I mean, if you're a Christian, and I think most of you are, is it possible for you to commit the unpardonable sin? And then number three, how can we avoid the unpardonable sin? How can you make sure you never, ever, ever commit the unpardonable sin? So let's dive in. We're going to spend most of our time on question one, okay? Because that is the most important thing, just to kind of know what it is, all right? And then we're going to kind of move through number two quite quickly. And then number three, we're going to offer you an invitation to never, ever, ever, ever commit the unpardonable sin. So let's dive into Roman number one, and let's talk about what is the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? Now, as we begin, I want to talk about some things that it is not, okay? It is not. And these are things you ought to remember, and these are things you need to think about. Okay, number one, the unpardonable sin is not what's referred to in 1 John 5:16, the sin unto death. In 1 John 5:16, John writes about a sin, and he calls it a sin unto death. Now, it is true that this sin, the unpardonable sin, leads to death. But I really think that is a sin that's different in the sense that sometimes God in His sovereignty, if we don't deal with our sin and we don't take care of our sin, He will take us home. He will, I mean, part of His judgment will be that He will literally take us out of here, okay? And so I think that's different, okay? I think that's different. I don't think that's the unpardonable sin. And we can get so far from God, and we can harden our hearts so much towards God, that I do believe it's possible that part of God's judgment will be just to take you out of here, okay? Number two, it's not murder, okay? It's not murder. You know, we know that murder is horrible, murder is terrible, but you know, you have biblical examples like Moses, you have biblical examples like the Apostle Paul. I mean, these were all people that were murderers. They took human life. And yet they were forgiven, okay? Unforgivable sin, it's not sexual immorality or adultery. I mean, yes, again, those are horrible, horrible sins. And we recognize that and we realize that. But, you know, again, God can forgive us. I mean, of course, David is probably the best example of that. Psalm 32, Psalm 51. I mean, David is crying out to God for forgiveness. And God indeed grants that forgiveness. The unforgivable sin is not even denying Christ. I mean, again, that's a horrible thing to deny Christ. But Peter himself denied the Lord three times. And yet God was able to forgive him, and God was able to use him in a wonderful way. And then one of the biggest ones is the unforgivable sin is not suicide. Okay? Some people say the unforgivable sin is suicide. And again, suicide is a horrible thing. I mean, it's not a good thing at all. And honestly, I can't imagine meeting the Lord. I mean, you say, well, I want to go to heaven. Well, maybe you'll go to heaven, but I mean, do you want to go to heaven and meet the Lord that way, knowing that you were a quitter, knowing that you gave up, you know, in your life? And so you don't want to do that, okay? You don't want to do that. And the whole idea behind that is, you know, if you commit suicide, that's one sin you can't ask for forgiveness for because you committed suicide. But what we have to understand is that, yes, we need to confess our sins to God because of our relationship with Him. We want to keep a good relationship with Him. But when you get saved, your sin, your standing in Jesus, is you're forgiven. Your past sin's forgiven. Your present sin's forgiven. Your future sin is forgiven. And again, that doesn't mean you shouldn't confess your sin. But if you, you know, get mad at your wife and you know, say something you shouldn't say to her and you die, you're not going to go to hell because you never got a chance to confess that particular sin to God. So again, all these things are not things that are good, okay? And this is just a partial list of you know, some terrible, terrible sins. But these are not the unpardonable sin. These are not the unpardonable sin. Here's my definition of the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is a complete and final rejection of Jesus Christ, so definite that it insults and drives away the Holy Spirit forever. The unpardonable sin is a complete and final rejection of Jesus Christ, so definite that it insults and drives away the Holy Spirit forever. So basically, this is a sin where the Holy Spirit is working in your life and seeking to draw you to God through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is, you know, convicting you of your sin. The Holy Spirit is showing you you need to be saved. The Holy Spirit is compelling you to be saved. All this is going on, okay? All this is happening, and yet you continually reject that. You continually say no to the Holy Spirit. In Acts 7:51, Stephen is preaching, and these people are not listening. I mean, he is presenting to them Jesus, and he's talking about, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Messianic prophecies, and he's preaching away, and he's telling them why Jesus is the Messiah, and they reject him. Okay, they reject that message. In fact, they go so far as to stone him for the message. I mean, he actually is going to die shortly after making this statement here. They're going to stone him to death. So he's preaching the truth. He's sharing the truth. He's telling them the way of salvation. And here's what he says. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Underline that. Resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Again, God was working in their life. God was giving them someone to give God's word to them and speak the truth to them, and yet they resisted the Holy Spirit. They resisted the Holy Spirit. And in Proverbs 29:1 it says, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He who is often rebuked, and hardens his neck, will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So the bottom line is, I mean, God can't forgive you rejecting Jesus Christ. And specifically, when the Holy Spirit is working in your life. The Holy Spirit is telling you, you need to be saved, and Jesus is the way of salvation, and you continually say no to the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a particular role in salvation. And the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, but will not convict a person of their sin forever. The Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin, but will not convict a person of their sin forever. So let's talk about how you come to Christ. All right, so I kind of look at it like a triangle, all right? For a person to come to know Jesus, there's three things that God uses. Okay, number one, God uses a man or woman of God. All right, God uses a soul winner. All right, God designed it in His plan that He would use people to reach people. That's God's plan, that people reach people. That's how He designed it to be. All right. So God uses a soul winner. God uses a man of God, or God uses a woman of God. All right. Then you have the seed. Okay. Jesus taught us that the seed, Luke chapter 8, is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. So the soul winner shares the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God gets preached. The Word of God gets taught and things like that. And then the third element, which is so important, is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has to work in a person's heart for them to be saved. In fact, a lot of what soul winning is looking at where the Holy Spirit is working. Okay, I had the privilege of leading two ladies to Christ this week. Okay, and the Holy Spirit has already been working on all that. Okay, Holy Spirit's been working, and they've been getting postcards in the mail, and they've got somebody gave them a personal invitation to come to the church. I mean the Holy Spirit was using all this stuff. Okay, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to them. You know, and I just happened to be there to see the fruit. Okay. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit that was working. I mean, they got all this mailings. And I don't know if y'all know, we do a few mailings around here. Okay, they got all these mailings over and over again, and most of them they just kind of threw it in the trash can. Okay, the Holy Spirit started working. Okay, the Holy Spirit started moving. All right, and they came to know Jesus. They got saved. Same thing happened to me. Okay, there was a soul winner. It was an evangelist. Our church. Back in 1968, New Hope Baptist Church, Appomattox, Virginia, had an evangelist come. There was a soul winner. And that evangelist preached the Word, preached the seed of the Word of God, okay? And the Holy Spirit worked on this 10-year-old boy named Steve, who was sitting in the pew, just like one of these, okay? And that night, I was brought under deep, deep conviction by the Holy Spirit. I mean, literally, I can remember literally looking down, and you're talking about white knuckles or whatever. I literally had white knuckles. I was literally clinging to the pew, okay? But you know what? I let go of that pew, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord, see? See, the Holy Spirit has to work. Really what soul winning is just looking for where the Spirit's working, okay? So the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin. But listen, the Holy Spirit will not convict people of their sin forever. In John 16, Jesus talks about, I'm going up to heaven, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. And in verse 8 it says, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus says, I'm going up into heaven. I'm going up into heaven. But the Holy Spirit's going to come. And part of the job description of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world of sin. Because again, you got to know you're lost to be found. You got to know you're in your sin to need a Savior. Okay. And of righteousness. What is the right way? And of judgment. Okay. Holy Spirit shows people, hey, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell if you don't ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. But the Bible says, Jesus said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. My spirit's not going to strive with man forever, okay? Now, you don't know and I don't know when a person crosses that line of the unpardonable sin. So you don't worry about it, okay? Because you're not smart enough to figure this out, understand? Okay, you should never say that person committed an unpardonable sin. You don't know. They might get saved on their deathbed. And that's fine, okay? I mean, praise God. People get saved on their deathbed. Amen? Praise the Lord, okay? Praise the Lord for that, okay? So don't you ever say, oh, forget them. They didn't commit the unpardonable sin. That's nowhere on your job description. Figure that out, okay? You're not smart enough, okay? Let's leave it there, all right? But there is a fact that the Holy Spirit will not work forever. There is a time when the Holy Spirit says, okay, I mean, yeah, all right, fine, yeah, fine. The unpardonable sin is a complete and final rejection of Jesus Christ. So definite that it insults and drives away the Holy Spirit forever. That, in my humble opinion, is the unpardonable sin. There are other views on that, which I do respect, but that's how I see it, okay? Number two, can a Christian commit the unpardonable sin? You say, well, I'm saved. Can I commit the unpardonable sin? The answer is no. Number one, as a Christian's been born by the Spirit. I mean, you've already been born again, and you got born again by the Spirit of God. All right? So you didn't quench the Holy Spirit. You didn't grieve the Holy Spirit. You didn't reject the Holy Spirit. You were born of the Spirit. Number two, a Christian is sealed by the Spirit. When you came to know Jesus, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that keeps you saved. It's the Holy Spirit of God that seals your salvation. And then on the back, a Christian is indwelt by the Spirit. A Christian is indwelt by the Spirit. Romans 8 and many other passages talk about how that the Spirit of God dwells in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Romans 8, 9. And it's the Spirit of God, verse 14, that leads you. And it's the Holy Spirit in verse 16 that bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. So it is absolutely impossible for a true Christian to commit this sin. And then number three, perhaps the most important question is, how can we avoid the unpardonable sin? How can we avoid the unpardonable sin? How can you make sure you never commit that sin? Well, the answer is say yes. Say yes. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working in your life. The Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin. The Holy Spirit is showing you your need for salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, the Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is doing His job in your life. You know what you need to do? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. And do what? Receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:7 tells us how we're saved. It says, in whom we have redemption, underline this, through His blood. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins comes through His blood according to the riches of His grace. And that's what communion is all about today. Today we're having communion. And communion is symbolic. It symbolizes our salvation. God gave us two symbols. One is baptism. Behind me is what's called a baptistry pool, okay? People get baptized right there. That's a symbol of our salvation. The second symbol that God gave us was this. And you know, you ought to give yourself fully to both of those. If you've never been biblically baptized, you're not following the symbol. God gave you a symbol, a way to express your salvation publicly to others. You ought to get baptized. But also communion, because communion represents two things. One, the body of Jesus. And when we take that bread, it reminds us of the body of Jesus. That body that was beaten, that body that was bruised, that body that was crucified, and most of all, that body that took our sin. But the Bible says He bore our sin on the cross. He bore our sin on the cross. And then the cup represents the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And again, the Bible says, in Him we have redemption. That means salvation. He brings us out of bondage to sin. He redeems us. He purchased us. He bought us through His blood, through giving His life. And it's through the blood that we receive forgiveness. It's through the blood that we receive forgiveness. In Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Holy Spirit is working in your life, and the Holy Spirit is saying, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take. Let him take. Let him take. Let him take the water of life freely. I mean, he's working in your life. He's working. And listen, do you remember when he worked in your life? Because most of us have been saved. Do you ever think about, wow, the Holy Spirit worked in my life to bring me salvation. You couldn't have been saved without the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit moved in your life. The Holy Spirit worked in your life. That is an awesome thing to think about. That's an awesome thing to consider. So here's the deal. Would you like to receive Christ today as your personal Lord and Savior? 2 Corinthians 6 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Say, so when's the best time for me to get saved? Now. Yeah. I told those ladies, I said, ladies, you got a couple choices here, okay? So number one, right, we can do it right here, okay? I can kind of lead you in accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay? Or you can do it tonight when you get home or tomorrow, whatever. So, you know what? The best time's right now, you know? Either with me or by yourself, it's fine. You don't need to me. I can't get you to heaven, okay? So it's fine, okay? But you want to do it now, okay? You want to do it now. Now's the best day of salvation, okay? Don't boast about tomorrow, it says. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen to you today. You don't know what's going to happen. You say, you're trying to scare me? If I can scare you to heaven, I'd be honored to do that, okay? I got scared into heaven. I mean, I think my pants that night were just, I mean, I thought my pants might have got burned in the back or whatever. I was under such conviction by the whole, that preacher preached on hell that night. Yeah. Yeah, I got scared into heaven. And I'm so glad somebody scared me into heaven. If I could scare you into heaven, I'd be glad to do that. Okay? Because hell is a horrible place. I've been studying a lot about hell. It's so horrible. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven, you know? Don't think you got tomorrow. You may have tomorrow. You might live 100 years. I don't know, okay? But you don't know either. This could be the last time the Holy Spirit even works in your life, okay? It's possible. I don't know when that is, but I know it happens, you know? So how can you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How are you going to escape? The answer is you're not going to escape. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask those helping with communion to take their places. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to not commit the unpardonable sin. All right? So here's the deal. You and I, we're sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. All of us are. And the Bible says there's some bad news. The bad news is you and I deserve hell. Because God is holy and heaven's a holy place, you know? And we're sinners and we don't deserve to go to heaven. What we really deserve is hell. That's what we really deserve. That's bad news. Good news is God doesn't want anybody in hell. God wants hell to be empty. He wants there to be no residence in hell. Sadly, that's not going to be the case, but that's really God's desire. He made a way for you to be saved. He made a way for you to be saved. Number one, he sent you a soul winner. I'm your soul winner. Number two, he sent you his word, the seed. The word is that if you will turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus as the way of salvation, you can be saved. Believing that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose from the grave, you can be saved. And then there's the Spirit. Is the Spirit working in you today? Is the Spirit speaking to you today? Don't say no to the Spirit. Don't say no to the Spirit. Say yes to the Spirit. You say, what do I need to do? Well, the Bible says if you call on the Lord, you can be saved. If you call on the Lord, you can be saved. So say yes to God today. Just pray something like this. Say something like this. Dear God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave to give me eternal life. Right now I turn from my sin. Right now I turn from my sin. And I put my trust in Jesus. I put my trust in Jesus as the way of salvation. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And save me right now. Save me right now. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer today, praise the Lord. Christian, how are you doing in your walk with the Lord today? Is there any sin you need to confess today before we partake of communion? Have you examined your heart? Is there anything you need to confront in your own life, you know, deal with in your own life? Do that. Do it right now. Do it right now. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit working in my life and drawing me to Jesus. Thank you that there was a soul winner. Thank you, Lord. There was a soul winner who preached the word, the seed. Thank you for planting that seed in my life. God, thank you for the Spirit of God moving. Lord, thank you, Lord, that I said yes to the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we all say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.